Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I want to say, I want to tell you, I want to say, when you can do what you want to do and go where you want to go and live where you want to live and love who you want. You wanna join? Well, 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 that's freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. When you can learn what you wanna learn and read what you wanna read, read. And write what you wanna write.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome, everybody. another great day, another day where it is sunny. It's sunny and it's deceiving, but it's a great day. It's a great looking day in the city of Chicago. And I hope it's great and you're feeling great and everything is happening in a positive manner. And everything is going on okay. You know what I mean? Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're on 6 to 7:30, sometimes 8 o'clock, depends on what's going on. Monday through Thursday. I was going to say Monday through Friday, but I'm just on 4 days a week. Okay. And sometimes I feel that's enough because I have other things to do. We have other things to do. This is not the end game here of your host for for this show. And thanks so much for tuning in. As always, you know, be nice to one another out there. Use your head, you know, because if you don't use your let me see, I'm not reading this right. Use your head and don't let your mouth get ahead of your head like it seems I'm doing. My guest today is Ben Trout on the George Wilder Jr. Show, former NFL player, now speaker on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see if that happens. Okay, we have to do this. We have to promote the show, folks. They say promote it. It, you know, it's better with friends. That's what they tell me here. But, the song at the beginning of the show is called Freedom. And basically it's, I like it because it amplifies what I've been trying to say for a long time. You know, you want to, I mean, you got a lot of people out here who hate their jobs, who hate going to their jobs. There's nothing like the freedom of having your own, doing your own thing. Do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. Love who you want to love. Say what you want to say. And so on and so forth. And I think that is great. You know, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I don't have a boss. Nobody's telling me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I make my own choices. I make my own decisions. I make who comes on the show, who doesn't be on the show. I make to come on the show or not to come on the show, you know. And I think a lot of people out there are capable of doing the same thing. You know, you're capable of doing the same thing. If you're tired of working for someone else every day, hey, wow, it's up to you to make a move. It's up to you to do something. But a lot of us, I'm not saying quit your job or anything like that, because a lot of us, we can't quit. But that doesn't mean that we can't, while we're working for someone else and making them a whole boatload of money and we're getting pennies, we can always look towards the future and say, hey, wow, 5 or 10 years from now, I'm going to be doing my own thing. I'm going to be out here working for myself instead of working for someone else. I mean, because that's the only thing that's really going to make you happy. You're never going to be happy getting up and coming back, getting up, coming back. I mean, this is a everyday ritual, because when I was doing it was what the hell am I doing? Why am I giving all of my time, my efforts, my abilities, my smarts, my intelligence to someone who doesn't respect me, take my ideas and use them for their own? They didn't give me credit for the things I've done. I said, why am I doing this? Well, I know I need to pay bills, of course. But you have to think and you have to look in the future. You have to say, well, I can't be doing this forever. You know, I'm disrespected. I mean, we get people in the workplace, you know, some of these people are assholes. And the supervisor is awful. The manager is on the supervisor's side. And, you know, they're like we're slaves or something, you know. I mean, think in the long term. I mean, if you can't quit your job, then don't. If you're not ready to go into business for yourself, then don't. Because I don't want to see anybody sitting on the curb because they took some sort of information from me and it didn't work for them. You know, but I'm just saying, if you have that drive, if you have that motivation, if you have that intelligence, and of course, startup cash. If you have all of that, go out and start your own business. You know, tell that bad boss of yours to go F themselves or whatever, and start your own business, you know, and it's fun. It's great. You're doing for yourself. And that's what I'm doing. And I love it. I love it. And I try to tell people and I try to have guests on the show to motivate you into doing that. If you can do it. I mean, you know, a lot of people can't do it. I mean, if you're poor, you're living in a shelter, obviously you can't do it. But if you're trying to lift yourself up out of poverty, lift yourself up out of off the streets into a better life, one of the things for a better life is going to business for yourself. I've seen so many people graduate into businesses their own businesses, becoming their own entrepreneur, giving up the 9-to-5, hiring their own workers, you know, being the boss. You want to be creative. If you're creative, if you're smart, if you're gifted, that and you're young, there is no stopping you. Open up your own business, even if it's a business making pizza. You know, people love to eat pizza. I mean, there have been billionaires who came out of having a business as pizza. You take Papa John, Jimmy John's, Pete's, you know, a lot of open up a pizza joint, make a pizza and sell it. You know, who knows? But I'm not into that. So, but I know a lot of this sounds easier said than done. Open up a beauty parlor, a salon, you know, fix hair, whatever, cut hair, you know, just or something more dramatic, you know. If you hate what you do, but you know what? There's a lot of people. Let me backtrack and there's a lot of people who love their jobs. If you love your job and you think you want to stay there forever, then go right ahead. I'm just saying, if you don't like your job, you know, if you tired of working for other people, and if you can afford it, if you are about it, if you're intelligent enough, if you're smart enough, if you're gifted, talented enough, you will only know that. I don't know that. You will only know if you can go beyond working for someone else and start to work for yourself. Only you would know that. I'm just trying to give you that motivation to push you out there into the world. And as I'm saying this, start up your own business, be your own person, be your own man, be your own girl, woman. There are stores that are closing. I mean, stores are closing big time. If you're going to start your own business, make sure you get into a business where you're going to be making a profit, not a business where your overhead is going to be more than your profits, then you're going to be in trouble. So because I'm just hearing now that Sears are closing more stores, Macy's are closing more stores, Kmart is closing, Staples, JCPenney, I mean, you name it. If you can name a big box store, it's either have closed or it will be closing. There's no doubt about it. People are shopping online. And that's sad. It's very sad because you really don't. I talked about this yesterday on the show. If stores are closing. I mean, I had a list here of I don't know what I did with it. It could be anywhere here. But anyway, the bottom line is a lot of these stores are closing, and it's sad. And I think the federal government should jump in and try to save some of these stores to keep them here. They are Americana, but you know the government. I mean, Republicans aren't going to do anything if they they're going to say good riddance. You know, that's what they're saying. But anyway, getting back to the store closing, it's a lot of them, and it's sad. And there are some stores that are flourishing. I think Aldi's, it's flourishing. I mean, because every time I look around, I'm seeing on the internet and other places that they are hiring. They're hiring almost every week, Aldi's. So if you anybody out there looking for a job, check out Aldi's, okay? It's a discounted store. You know, a lot of these stores say they're discounted, you know, but they're just as high and just outrageous with their prices, just like anybody else. That this for them to say something's discounted is just to get you into the store. Those products in the store that are discounted, they're not actually discounted. You think you're paying less for it, but you actually paying more for it. They're just putting that label discounted on that item just to get you to think that it's at a lower price. You walk into the store, you see the product, it says discounted. Oh, wow, it's discounted. I'm going to save money. It's half price. You buy it, not knowing actually that you're paying more for it than it actually was worth. because the store is being deceptive. So you got to watch out when you see things that are that says discounted. Oh, it's a half price. Half price is actually worth, it's actually worth 1/3 of the price or 1/4. But, you know, at the store is getting over like that. So you have to watch yourself when you walk into a store. But like I said, a lot of the stores are flourishing. McDonald's is here to stay. You know, a lot of the fast food chains are here to stay. Restaurants, most restaurants are here to stay, even though I think a majority of people are not eating out as much as they were, because anybody can tell you that it's cheaper to eat at home than it is to go out to a restaurant. And it's cheaper, and it can be more healthier to eat at home than to go out and eat in a restaurant. You know, you never know how many calories are in what you're eating or anything, because there's no doubt about it, folks. You have to watch what you put in your mouth. You know, I tell my kids, my son every day, I tell him all the time, watch what you put in your mouth, because this guy just stuffs things. He just, I mean, I should take a video of him eating one day. I mean, it'll probably go viral on YouTube or something, but it is a sight. And I always tell him to watch what he puts in his mouth, because if it's edible, he'll put it in his mouth, you know, especially if it's got a little sugar sprinkled on it or something. But anyway, it's sad to see some of these stores closing. It's sad to see some of these things go away. And simply because people are not physically going to the stores. People are shopping online. Even I am shopping online. I mean, I buy a lot of stuff online. I just sit right here where I'm broadcasting this show from and order online. Pick it up in a few days or a couple of weeks, and there it is. Or it comes right downstairs to the front door. And but basically, I'm a shopper. I mean, I'm a shopper. I like to go out to the stores, but you know, every now and then, you know, it's you can't make it. You do what you got to do, you know. But it's sad that these stores are closing, and all around America, and even abroad, overseas, some of these stores are closing. American stores overseas are closing, so it's very sad. But this is the world we're living in, folks. This is technology. You really can't be sad about it, because you're going to get what you're going to get. If you want something, you're going to get it, whether you physically walk into a store or whether you buy it online. Amazon, Walmart, and a lot of these retailers online. Amazon is has opened up physical stores in America. So Amazon itself has expanded from being online to actually being a physical store in your neighborhood, a bookstore. You know, I have yet to go to an Amazon store. We have yet to go out to an Amazon store, because I want to see if they're carrying my books. Since, you know, I'm publishing on Amazon, I'm going to see. I heard that they are. I heard that anytime if you're publishing a book on Amazon, it's also available in their stores. So that's a good thing. Whether it's Kindle or paperback or hardback. I don't know if I actually don't know. I'm not sure if Amazon does hardbacks, but I do know they do paperbacks, because I've got a few of my own paperbacks that were sent here from Amazon. And but the bottom line is, Amazon is the elephant in the room. Amazon is the cause of a lot of these great stores closing, like Radio Shack. I mean, I used to live at Radio Shack. I loved Radio Shack. I mean, if I needed a wire or an adapter or whatever it is, or remote control or a microphone or whatever, it was always Radio Shack. I didn't do Radio Shack online. You know, at that time, I didn't do it because it was right in my neighborhood, you know, so it was a few blocks down, and it was sad to see it go. The Radio Shack that I'm talking about is right. It was right next to Loyola University. So, and but there are I don't know, 30 or 40 Radio Shacks around America and abroad. And it's just a shame. Radio Shack, I haven't heard anything about Home Depot yet, you know. But Macy's, Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, Staples, I'm pretty sure a lot of other unknown stores that I don't know about are closing. Also, the mom and pop stores are shutting their doors because a lot of people are ordering groceries online. Yeah. People are ordering groceries online and having them delivered right there at their door. So online shopping is busting out at the seams. People are doing it all over the world. I mean, you can get up at 12 o'clock at night, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and go online and start shopping your ass off. You know, in your pajamas, or you can be in your underwear, you know, unshaven, you know, looking a mess, but you're on your computer or your phone and you're shopping your butt off. And it feels good to do that. I've done it, you know, I've done it. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people have done it. And I love shopping. I love buying stuff. The only thing I have a gripe with is running out of money, you know, to buy more stuff. But a lot of these stores are just, and the reason why I'm on this subject for so long is because I really feel that these dying stores need a funeral. You know, they need a funeral. Macy's, I'm not too sad about to see Macy's go, because they treated me badly one day. And I don't want to get into that. So I'm not too sad about seeing Macy's go. But I remember before Macy's in the city of Chicago, it was called Marshall Fields. And then it became Macy's for some reason. And they're in trouble too, you know. I don't know why a lot of these stores that are closing, they could be just like Amazon. Why, you know, but obviously they're not doing something, or they feel that they can't do something to get people back into their stores. That's what profitability is all about, is making money. And I don't understand why some of these stores, these big box stores, these well-known stores, these iconic stores are just quitting and just, you know, and just saying the hell with it. 347-857-1762. You're welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today is Ben Troop. He's a former NFL player, now speaker. It's great when people are famous athletes or famous actors or actresses, and all of a sudden they're not doing that anymore, and they start to become activists. They start to become a voice for those who they are trying to help. I think that's great. They themselves might have gone through some sort of negative experience, and they want to share their experience with other people, so those people can avoid some of the pitfalls that they managed not to avoid during some point in their lives. I think that's beautiful. I really do. All right. Be nice to one another out there. We're going to take a break. Let's see if we can do something. We have Ben Thorpe on the show later on, folks. All righty. We will be right back. Can we do this? Sounds. All right, Donald Trump is set. Not Donald Trump, but James Comey, the former FBI director, the guy who was fired by Donald Trump, is set to testify this coming Thursday. And folks, it's going to be interesting. It's totally going to be interesting because he's going to be testifying against Donald Trump, and he's going to spill the damn beans on this guy. I mean, Donald Trump may be impeached behind this. If he's not impeached, it's going to make him look really, really awful, more awful than he makes himself look now. Trump may find the time to live tweet. I mean, he's a tweeting fool. Donald Trump tweets secrets. He tweets about things that incriminate himself. I never seen a president incriminate himself so badly as Donald Trump, letting everybody know that he's going to obstruct justice. He's going to stop it. He's going to say his piece, you know, and he doesn't listen to anybody. I'm hearing that the White House itself contacted at least four law firms to try to get them to represent Donald Trump. And they all turned the White House down, saying that they can't do it because they don't think that Donald Trump will listen to their advice. And you know what? They're right. Donald Trump is not going to listen to anybody. He may have a field of lawyers, but he's not going to listen to them. Donald Trump is going to do what Donald Trump wants to do. He's going to tweet what Donald Trump wants to tweet. His lawyers are going to tell him, stop tweeting. Stop talking. Keep your mouth shut. Donald Trump is not going to do that. Donald Trump feels he has to say something. He has to throw it out there. He has to be a blabbermouth. And he's tweeting classified secrets. He's tweeting policy. You know, he is a madman when it comes to tweeting. A bad speller, but he's a madman. And by Comey being able to testify this coming Thursday, a lot of people feel that Trump is going to be tweeting his ass off. He's going to be tweeting why this man is testifying against him. And that's possible. That is possible. And that they're saying that President Donald Trump may live tweet fired FBI Director James Comey highly anticipated Senate testimony on Capitol Hill this Thursday, pursuing a habit that frequently causes trouble for his administration. Exactly. Totally. Tweeting makes him look awful. Tweeting makes his administration look awful. I'm hearing that his inner circle, the folks around him, his ass kissers, they are telling him to stop doing it. Stop tweeting. Stop tweeting. It's making you look bad. You're incriminating yourself. You're making all of us look bad. And I think this is something I alluded to yesterday also. A lot of people don't want to work for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is constantly saying that the Democrats are obstructing his nominees. That's a lie. The Democrats are not stopping Donald Trump from doing anything. They are not obstructing Donald Trump's nominees to any cabinet post or to any job in the White House. You know why? Because Donald Trump has not picked anybody yet. How can you obstruct something if there's nothing to obstruct? He's just lying to you, to me, and everybody. He's saying these things because he knows that his base, his people, his supporters will eat this up. They'll believe anything this guy says, you know, but he is basically, he's saying that, you know, the Democrats are obstructing him. They're stopping him from appointing people to a certain post. How can they stop him from appointing anybody when there's nobody there for them to obstruct? Donald Trump needs to feel a lot of post within his administration. The reason why he hasn't filled a lot of those vital posts in his administration, and he's been 5 or 6 months in office already, is because nobody wants to work for him. Would you want to work for Donald Trump? Most people would say no. I mean, why would you want to work for somebody who has several investigations going on? Why would you work for someone who incriminates himself through tweeting and sometimes through live interviews, saying all kind of stuff that's going to get him impeached or locked up or get the American people more against him? You know, more against him. His approval ratings, I believe, are at 39%, I'm guessing, but that's still low. You know, he had an uptick for a while. Some people gave him an uptick his overseas trip, but most of us thought it was a disaster. Donald Trump gave himself a high five. Everybody else gave him a thumbs down. Most people did. The people in his inner circle who goes around lying for him, they also gave him a thumbs up. But this Thursday, Donald Trump is going to be tweeting his ass off. You know, Trump will weigh in if he feels the need to respond to something that Comey is saying on about him to incriminate him. He's going to weigh in. And this is something his lawyers doesn't want him to do. His current lawyers that are sticking by him, they don't want him to tweet. They don't want him to. But Donald Trump is going to do it, incriminating himself. And that's a shame because if something does happen and he has to go to court, he will not get a fair trial because they're going to go back and look at his tweets. His tweets are going to get his ass in a lot of trouble because if he tries to deny something or deny this or deny that, people are going to go pull out his tweets. And that's going to really put a ripple and wrinkle in everything that he tries to say to defend himself. And they want this guy to stop tweeting. I'm just a citizen. You know, I would love for him to not tweet. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. This is why people don't want to work for him. This is why people are staying as far. This is why some of those cabinet posts, some of those vital posts in Washington are going unfilled because he can't find people who wants to take them. The majority of the people and a lot of the people who he's working for that are already working for him, some of them have quit already, walked off. They don't want to be part of administration who tweets out policy. They don't want to be a part of administration who blabs away classified information to foreign leaders. Donald Trump incriminates himself. He said he even contradicts the folks who go out there to try and defend him. His two top liars, Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer. They try to defend him, but he said, but he contradicts them, making them look bad. So it's going to really, really be interesting coming Thursday. I'm going to be right here on the show. So I may not have much to say about it unless it goes on for a few hours, but we just have to deal with it the way it's going to play out. You know, so Trump will weigh in if he feels like he needs to respond on something. He sure will. If he hears Comey say something that he doesn't like, all right, he's going to get out that phone. Actually, I thought he was on a laptop, you know, but he's on a phone and he's going to be tweeting his ass off and he's going to be incriminating himself. I mean, this is why his lawyers are the ones that he have, you know, but he was looking for other lawyers to represent him and they turned him down. And I'm pretty sure the lawyers that he have, they are pulling their hair out. This guy is incriminating himself. There's nothing we can do about it. He's incriminating himself. And he's going to continue to do it because he's Donald Trump. Okay, there's people already tweeting about it. I'm told by two White House sources that President Trump does not plan to put down Twitter on Thursday. This is a quote from Robert Costa. He's saying, I'm going to read this again. I'm told by two White House sources that President Donald Trump does not plan to put down Twitter. So he will tweet on Thursday, may live tweet. He may live tweet if he feels he needs to respond. That's going to be interesting. David Max, Sean says Trump will be very busy and focused on his agenda on Thursday when Comey is testifying. Please save this tweet for Thursday, because that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. He's going to be watching and listening to Comey testify against his unfit butt. He's going to be testifying against Sean Spicer. This guy, he's a liar for Donald Trump. He's a butt kisser for Donald Trump. He's a bootlicker, just like Kellyanne Conway. And every time he says Donald Trump is not going to do anything, Donald Trump does it. That's how Donald Trump contradicts what his minions are saying. These people go out and try to defend him, but they can't defend him because he himself incriminates himself. When he talks, he speaks, he tweets, and it's crazy. It's just nutty, but it's going to be interesting. And some people are saying that the more Trump protests, the more guilty he looks. And on Thursday, he'll likely tweet up a storm. Credibility is on Comey's side. There's no doubt about it. Now, credibility is on Comey's side. The American people are with Comey. They are fed up with Donald Trump. Majority of the American people, folks, they want to see Donald Trump impeached. Impeaching Donald Trump too early, from my thinking, impeaching him too early may not play well with the Democrats trying to win seats in 2018. Because maybe we need to keep Trump in office until 2018, because people are going to be more and more upset. His poll numbers are going to be in the gutter. People are going to be pissed off. It just may mobilize more and more people go to the polls if he stays in office, at least until the midterms of 2018. That may, that's easier said than done. It may happen. It may not happen. Some people saying that Trump may be impeached by the end of the year, and then who knows, but we do know this is a bad situation for the American people. The only way he looked, this is a response, the only way he looked more guilty is to be wearing stripes and peering out from between closely spaced iron bars. In other words, lock him up, Yeah, and social media, there's no doubt about it. Social media is just totally, totally against Trump. Social media rips Trump. And I've heard a lot of people say Trump should start paying close attention to the American people. He should start paying closer attention to his low poll numbers. He should pay it, but I'm hearing that he ignores that. He ignores that the American people want him out of the White House. He ignores that. He ignores his poll numbers. But there may be a time when he cannot ignore these things any longer, because the American people, they have more power. We have more power than the Republicans in Congress. And not to listen to us is detrimental. The majority of the people want Donald Trump out of office, American people. But the Republicans in Congress, they're not listening. They don't care. It's a party. Yeah, they are going under. Whether Donald Trump is impeached tomorrow or impeached in, or not impeached or does an entire 4 years, but that's going to be disaster if he does that, you know. So we just have to see what's going to come Thursday. Thursday in this meeting on Capitol Hill when he testifies. Obviously, Comey is going to be under oath. Under oath. The penalty of perjury. So he's going to tell the truth. Because if he's under oath, if he lies, he can be arrested right then and there. So he has to tell the truth. He has to give. And everybody's looking at Comey to really, James Comey, the FBI director who was fired by Donald Trump. Everybody's looking at Comey to really, really supply some red meat. Something that's going to really, really embarrass Trump, Donald Trump. And I was thinking a couple of days ago that James Comey could plead the fifth. I hope that doesn't happen. You know, I hope he's not going to try to protect Trump or defend Trump, especially after Trump fired him, threw him. Trump did not just fire James Comey. He threw James Comey out of the Justice Department. He threw him out from being head, the director of the FBI. He threw him out of there. He kicked him out. So this was not just a firing. This was like, get out. You're through. It's over. Leave. That's what it was like. He tossed this guy out on his ass. So I'm thinking James Comey is going to come back on Thursday and just, you know, get his revenge on Donald Trump. A lot of us are thinking that, but it could happen. It may not happen. We're all in anticipation for James Comey testimony on Thursday. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing that the testimony, once he testifies under oath, it's going to be carried by all television stations, NBC, ABC, CBS, you name it. It's going to be carried live. It's going to be streaming all on the internet. You know, it's going to be all over the world. This is monumental, folks. This is going to be monumental. And Trump, if he hears something, he's going to be listening too. If he hears something, he's going to jump on that damn phone and start tweeting his little fingers off. You know, because that's what Trump does. That's what he does. And it's very simple tweets we can expect. I didn't say that. Not true. Never spoke to him. Fake news. Sad. I won the Electoral College by the landslide. This is what Trump will say. And so on. And we know the rest. So that's probably what Trump will probably say. You know. Throw in, I'm a rubber. You are the glue, and I know you, but what am I? A lot of people are already making fun of what's going to go down, how Trump is going to tweet. This is going to be totally interesting. Totally interesting. All righty. Here we go. Another terrorist attack. I'm assuming a terrorist attack. ISIS claims responsibility for hostage siege in Melbourne, Australia, that killed one person and injured three cops. And they still do have, I think there are some latest violence that has gone on, some more violence that has gone on in London. I'm not quite privy to a lot of what it is. I'm going to look it up as I take this break. But it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say. Like I said, it's going to be broadcast everywhere. It's going to be broadcast everywhere. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY. I could hardly talk yesterday. I can hardly talk today. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on right here. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. And this should be interesting. I can't wait to happen. I'm just hoping that Comey throws some red meat out there, because he's going to be under oath, so he can't lie. He's under the penalty of perjury. That means if he lies, he can be arrested. And we'll just have to see what happens.
Today, the president will release his full budget for fiscal year 2018. From all indications, the Trump budget will seek deep cuts to programs that help the middle class and working America while providing more handouts for the rich. It will cut to the bone programs that help the elderly, the poor, while adding money for an unnecessary, ineffective border wall that continues to have bipartisan opposition. And to make all of the math work, the Trump budget makes entirely unfounded assumptions about economic growth. In short, the Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and the working poor, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. The Trump budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. Of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. We expect the Trump budget will make deep cuts to the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. Let me ask, how many people in America want to cut cancer research when it's done such good? Well, President Trump evidently does. It's his budget. They kneecap research that develops new cures, damaging our ability to contain or prevent the outbreak of disease. We're all living longer and healthier, in part because of this research. We want to stop it, cut it back, so we can give tax breaks to wealthy people who, God bless them, are doing great already. We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this. And the Children's Health Insurance Program, cruelly ripping away the lifelines from Americans who need the most, the children, the working poor, the elderly. We expect the Trump budget will cut transportation funding, education funding, and programs that help students repay their student loan debt. One of the great problems in America, the debt on the backs, the burden of average kids getting out of college, middle-class kids. We're going to make it harder? What is going on here? What is going on in the White House with this kind of budget? Our college kids, when they get out, they need to be able to live real good lives and not have this burden of debt on their shoulders, which they're struggling under now, and we're going to make it worse. We also, this is amazing but true, the Trump budget will break President Trump's promise to protect Social Security and Medicaid from cuts, both of them. He promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicare is not cut here, but Medicaid is, and Social Security is. On Social Security, the budget will cut Social Security disability benefits to many Americans who have earned them and paid for those benefits. And you can say, well, doesn't cut old age benefits for the elderly. Wait. If they get away with this, the elderly will be next on the chopping block, because the goal, it seems, of this budget is cut everything you can so you can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest people. The Koch brothers type of thinking. It will also seek hundreds of billions of dollars, additional cuts in Medicaid. The budget cuts Medicaid on top of the cuts that were made in the House bill of Trump Care. And what'll that do? Medicaid has become a middle-class program. 60% of the people in nursing homes, Medicaid funds it. What are we going to tell a couple with three kids? Say they're 40 or 45. They have three kids. They're saving for college. They're struggling. But at least they know that mom or dad who needs help is in a nursing home. This budget passes, that family is going to have a terrible choice. Take hundreds of dollars a month out of their own budget and give it to pay for the nursing home.
It's something.
Or find a place for mom and dad to live, maybe at home, but maybe there's no room in the house.
Whatever the fuck it was.
Awful. That's what they're doing. And who else will it hurt? Opioid addiction. Much of our progress that we're trying to make on opioid addiction comes through Medicaid. Because they give treatment. We need both law enforcement. I'm a tough law enforcement guy. You know that. But we also need treatment. I've had fathers cry in my arms because their sons, in this case it was both sons, were waiting online for treatment and died of an overdose. What a burden a parent has to live with. We should cut that and cut it to give more tax breaks to the rich. It's in America turned upside down, this budget. And how about rural areas? You know, I represent New York State. It's known for its big city, New York City. We have other great cities upstate. But we also have the third largest rural population in America. So I'm very familiar with rural America. In many of my counties in upstate New York, and this is true throughout rural counties, throughout America, the largest employer is the rural hospital. And that hospital is the only hospital around for miles and miles and miles. If God forbid you have a stroke and you got to be rushed there to get yourself better. Well, go talk to our rural hospitals. These rural hospitals, which are the beating heart of our local economy, employing hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. Well, nearly one in three rural hospitals today are at risk of closure. It's more expensive to run a rural hospital. People in rural areas are entitled to the same health care, so that means buying all these fancy machines. In an urban area, those machines can run 24/7 and get the reimbursement back, but in a rural area, they can't. There's not that many people. But they get some help. The Trump cuts to Medicaid would cause a whole bunch of these rural hospitals to close and many more to lay off employees, hurting health care in rural America, hurting jobs in rural America, places that need help. The Trump budget, on top of Trump Care, seeks more than $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, would decimate health care options for rural Americans and pull the plug on many of these rural hospitals. And some of my colleagues will be talking more about that this morning. When you add all of it up, Mr. President, when you add all of it up, the Trump budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on a fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is openly rooting for a government shutdown. Haven't we heard the president say that? It's the latest example of the president breaking his promises to working Americans. This budget breaks promise after promise after promise that the president made to what he called the forgotten America, the working men and women of America. And he said he'd help them, and this budget goes directly against them. In a speech to Congress, for instance, earlier this year, the president called education, quote, the civil rights issue of our time. But his budget guts vital school programs. Our future, our kids. He said, quote, cures to illness have always been plagued, he said, quote, this is the president's quote, cures to illnesses that have always plagued us are not too much to hope, quote. but his budget slashes funding for NIH and CDC, where they do this research. And he said, quote, save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts, have to do it, unquote. But his budget would cut Social Security disability insurance and end Medicaid as we know it. The Trump budget is one giant, brazen, broken promise to the working men and women of America. It completely abandons them. Fundamentally, this is a deeply unserious proposal that should roundly be rejected by both parties here in Congress. I'm optimistic that that's what will happen. We should follow the same blueprint we did in the 2017 budget. Both Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, in a bipartisan way, everyone compromises. We should get together, negotiate a serious proposal that maintains our commitments to the middle class and actually sets our economy up to grow. We cannot.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, I've just made privy to Donald Trump is going to have dinner with two of the senators who will question James Comey on Capitol Hill this coming Thursday. Now, what does that tell you? Donald Trump is going to have dinner with, he's going to try to taint the questioning before it begins. He's talking with two senators. I'm pretty sure two senators who support him. He's getting it done already. He's meddling in the investigation. He's meddling in the questioning already. And this just constantly proves that he's trying to do his best to obstruct it. And there is, this is probably the fourth or fifth time or sixth time he's tried to obstruct this investigation in some shape or form. And this is going to bite him in his ass. I just had to break in on you folks to do this. I'm sorry, but this is something. This is about America. Okay, Donald Trump is dining at the White House Tuesday night with two senators tonight, which is Tuesday. The two senators who will question FBI Director James Comey on Thursday. This guy, he never quits. He's going to continue. Of course, the two of them, if you ask them what went on in this dinner, they're going to deny everything. They're going to, you know, lie, come out and lie to the American people. But we know what it's about. Even if it was just an innocent dinner, even if it was innocent, it looks bad. It looks bad, especially when all the, it looks bad on top of all the other obstructions of justice that were perpetrated by Trump and his inner circle. So it just looks bad. Okay, Senator Marco Rubio, Tom Cotton, Republicans, Todd Young, Cory Gardner, the representatives, Francis Rooney, and Lee Zedlin have all been invited to dinner. Ain't that something? He's going to try to get them. I'm just guessing, allegedly, I'm just guessing that Donald Trump may try to get all these Republicans that he invited to the White House not to ask certain questions. Period. Not to ask certain questions. This is going to, and you know, he may weasel out of this some kind of way. Okay. In the residence at 6:30, this is going to happen at 6:30 p.m. It's probably already happened. Rubio and Cotton, who are both members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, are then scheduled to question Comey during an open and closed session hearing on Thursday. I don't like those closed sessions. I like the open ones, but I don't like the closed ones because you don't know what the hell's going on in those closed sessions. They'll come out and say what went on, but they could be lying. You never know. And with this administration, you can't trust anything that comes out of this administration, out of anybody's mouth, because they're lying on top of lies, on top of more lies, and then they're lying some more. So you really can't trust anything that this administration says, or if it's a Republican, you really can't do that, because you wind up disappointed when the lies start flowing once again. But this is really, really something that Donald Trump, he's inviting all of these people who are going to be questioning Comey in an investigation against him to try to taint what's going to be happening on Thursday. So this looks bad. I mean, they can come out and say, well, nothing went on. We just had dinner with the president. It looks bad. It looks horrible for the American people. The American people are smart as they can be. They know that this is an attempt to taint the questioning of James Comey coming up on Thursday. They know what this is. I know what this is. You know what this is. So he's going to try, because Donald Trump is just constantly obstructing justice. This guy should be thrown out on his ass. He's guilty as sin. There is no concrete evidence of anything, but the way Donald Trump acts and the things he says, the things he tweets, he incriminates himself. He's guilty of something. He still has not produced his tax returns. And the Republicans, they have the authority to confiscate his tax returns, but they will not do it because even they know there's something there. They know it. I forgot my thought. They even know something is there. So therefore, you know, I've said this for months and months and months. They are just aiding and abetting Donald Trump. So there's no doubt about that. They're aiding and abetting him. Their office, I've heard they're trying to keep him in office until they get their agenda through. Then they're going to kick him out or something to that effect. But if they're aiding and abetting Donald Trump, there's no doubt about it. So I'm thinking that come 2018, November, the midterms, we're going to vote them all out. Get rid of every damn Republican in Congress. They're all up to no good. You can't trust them. You can't believe them. You just can't stake any of your time on these guys. They're not about representing the people who put them in office. They're about representing their party, doing what their party bosses want them to do. And folks, that's the truth. They don't represent their constituency. How can they represent their constituency when they refuse to go to their town halls to answer questions from the people who put them in office? They don't represent America. Donald Trump said the other day, that he represented Pittsburgh. Not, he said that he represents Pittsburgh. As if he doesn't represent the rest of America, just Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh came back on him and said, hey, wow, do not in your lunacy, in so many words. But now this is going to be interesting. Now this has just brought my blood pressure down a little bit. But this is what's happening. Donald Trump is trying to taint the questioning already. As I'm speaking here with you now, he's trying to taint the questioning that's going to be happening on Thursday with the director of the FBI that he fired. Actually, he kicked out. This, because I say kicked out, because Comey was learned about his firing while he was speaking to cadets. While he was in the middle of a speech, and he learned of his firing just like we did from television. Okay, there's a report saying Comey suspects Trump was trying to influence him, just like he's trying to influence these people here. Yeah, he was trying to influence. He tried to influence everybody. But he says suspects. So I don't know if that's an operative word or if that's just saying he might have been trying to influence me. There's no might in it. He was trying to influence you. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:09, straight up Chicago time. Breaking news. A top intelligent official told Associates Trump asked him if he could intervene with Comey to get the FBI off Flynn. I was reading an alert here from the Washington Post. Okay, I'm going to read it again. It's breaking news. Top intelligence official told Associates that Trump asked him if he could intervene with Comey to get FBI off the back of Flynn. Now, that's an impeachable offense if that's true. And that's coming from a vital source. That is not fake news. We don't do fake news on the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. I'm going to dig in a little bit more on this, and we're going to have a little bit more when we come back.
On the heels of Kathy Griffin, the latest comic to sort of step in it with both feet is Bill Maher. For this off-the-cuff remark on Real Time, take a look.
Adults dress up for Halloween. They don't do that in Nebraska?
It's frowned upon. Yeah, we don't do that quite as much. But
wow. I got to get to Nebraska more.
You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us.
Work in the fields?
That's part of that. That's...
Senator, I'm a house... No, it's a joke.
So Mark quickly apologized, saying the word was offensive and he regrets saying it. But people are calling for HBO to drop him from the lineup. No. Well, you know, this is the world we're in.
Yeah.
You step in it, you make a mistake, it's like off with your head.
Well, what do you think about it? What do you think?
Listen, you know what? I have very specific feelings about the word. I think that the more power you give the word, he didn't call anybody, he called himself, which I always think is a good idea because you should know that the word affects everybody. You are one as well. Mm. When you look it up, it's like, you know, depending on which dictionary you look at.
Well, when you say it, the way you're saying it shows you that you're empathizing with possibly that person.
I don't know. I just think that it's a word that has way too much power, and we've given it way too much power because it's had the ability to stop us in our tracks. And as I always say, young people kind of say, listen, we've taken it in a different direction. But that's just me, you know. But I know that this one, whose face is like this.
Oh, yes, she's got the lips.
Happening.
She's got the lips.
Yes,
the lips
yes.
Are happening.
You know, she has a different
face that I don't even know is happening.
But she has a different response because of how she was raised.
I was raised in a way, you know, I use my father as my beacon for so many things. Mm-hmm. And he told me a story about how he was with my mom in Georgia and the KKK ran them out. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, who was in the army, had to stand in front of the home that they were in with a shotgun because mm-hmm. they were threatened to kill that mm-hmm. N-word that was mm-hmm. in the house. Mm-hmm. And my father recounted that story to me with tears in his eyes. And he said, that is an evil, ugly, nasty word, and we are never going to use it in this house. Mm-hmm. You will never use it, and your children should never use it. And I have never uttered the word in mm-hmm. my 48 years of, mm-hmm. of living. Yeah. And I don't think anyone should use it. I think it's time to retire that word. It comes from such a painful time. And I understand the argument that young people have reclaimed it, yeah. but I almost
but
feel like...
But you can't retire it. You understand that. The word is in the lexicon, so let's
It is in the lexicon. I just hope that... I don't like the argument that, you know, well, white people can't use it, but we can use it. Because what happens is you hear... it used in music all the mm-hmm. time. And so then when the white kid is listening to the music mm-hmm. and saying the lyrics, how do you justify that? I just think it's time for everyone
Bill Maher is one of the good guys in this fight against Trump right now, that I believe that he mm-hmm. is anyway. And I feel like, you know, not to deflect from what he said, because he already yeah. apologized, yeah. but Donald Trump and his people that ran his real estate agent, they actually practiced racism.
Yes, they did.
They discriminated against black people in housing. Mm-hmm. Yes. To me, that is a much more egregious sin than saying any kind of word, you know, to yeah. me. I think that let's not lose perspective about comedians and words and things that comedians are saying, because there seems to be this assault on comedians. And within the Kathy Griffith case, which I think you're going to bring up, there's a lot of overkill going on right now. Okay, she made a mistake. She did something stupid. She said she's sorry. And now they're piling on her like she's Charles Manson. Get over it.
Well, yeah, regardless of the offense, because that word to me, I could never utter it, because I do feel its power in the history. Mm-hmm. But I just keep saying this over and over, which it is, I feel like we're all one step away from being not saying that word. But I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times to know that everything I stand for and am as a human being and the way my heart, you know, faces right. the world, that in one word, in one misstep, in one bad joke, everything could be over. Like, I just feel like mm-hmm. the punishment has
it's
to be in response
to say anything.
And people that come out and truly apologize, because I would argue that mm-hmm. I had more sympathy for Kathy Griffin before her apology, but I do think that when Bill Maher says, you know what, that was dumb, that was stupid,
yeah.
it's wrong. I believe that word mm-hmm. should never be used. Mm-hmm. But I do think you have to let people own that and move on. I don't think they should go down for the rest of their lives. Everything's all about...
I actually understand your point about detoothing it. I get that. I just don't... How do you do it, though? Because here's the thing. When someone like Bill Maher, that may have been mm-hmm. his version of doing that. And the backlash that comes at anyone that tries to take a word and not give it power, it's tough because there are people that get offended. I grew up feeling that word was wrong. I had friends that told me this offends me. Obviously never use it. For me, when I hear it, I hear a history of this country that makes me upset. So that's my interpretation of it. But when he said it, I didn't think that he was trying to offend.
Well, because
he wasn't
throwing it at anybody.
Right. But how do you detooth a word if so much of the population responds that way?
Well, here's how you detooth it.
Tell me. I want to know.
I'm going to. When you hear it, see who's doing it.
Yeah, consider the source.
If people are not doing what they were doing at your
to my dad
or my mother and her entire family, if they're not doing that and they're singing some, you know, somebody's music, you say, oh, okay, I get it. You cannot continue to give the word the power, because if you do, it means that every time you hear it, you stop, and that's what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with the fact that somebody's a bonehead or someone is wrong, and all they could do to stop you from telling them they're wrong is use the word to stop you in your tracks. Mm-hmm. I thought what somebody should have said was, well, it's about time you realize you won too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Ben Sasse was not about to say
well,
that.
But,
doesn't it take someone, for me, like, I didn't live that historical experience. I didn't, my family didn't live that pain. I feel like, for me, to take on that word is a sign of disrespect. Whereas if you come from
well,
somewhere.
Well, you better not ever read, you better never read any of Tom
Sawyer.
Don't read Tom Sawyer out loud, because the word exists.
Yeah.
It did exist, and it was put out there to make you feel like less. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, let's detooth that, make somebody work harder and figure out another word that might stop me.
There are 171,000 words in the English language.
That's
freaking
right.
Pick
that's
another
all?
One.
Yes.
Pick another,
pick a different one, because
yeah,
that's not word. The one that's going to stop me. That's not the one that's going to stop me. Stupid will stop me faster than the, yeah. For your sake, the N-word will.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Like I said, okay, all right. Okay. Like I said, folks, it's going to be very, very interesting come Thursday. It's going to be very, very interesting. And some things are already coming out before even Thursday gets here, before he even sits down to testify. But some things are coming out. I'm getting messages from all over the place what things are going to, what kind of things are going to be, what kind of questions are going to be asked, what kind of responses they're going to be. I'm getting messages about Trump and Comey is saying things like he told when Trump asked everybody to leave the room and he wanted to talk to, when Trump asked everybody to leave the room and he wanted to talk to Comey alone, Comey said to Jeff Sessions, don't leave me. You know, so like I said, this stuff is going to come out and get the popcorn, get your Coca-Cola or your bottle of water. Is actually bottle of water is better, and sit down and just enjoy this, because Trump's ass is in a tailspin and he's still trying to get out of it. He's still trying to weasel and wiggle out of this by obstructing again. He constantly obstructs. This is why those four law firms turned him down, because they knew that Trump is going to be Donald Trump. We can't represent you. You're incriminating yourself too much. And you're going to draw us in on this investigation and they're going to be questioning us. So, and as I've said before, he lied on Democrats. Democrats are not obstructing him. How can they obstruct something that's not there? He's saying, Trump is saying that, have said that they are obstructing his nominees. He has no nominees. He has none. First of all, before they can obstruct, the Democrats can obstruct his nominees, first he has to have some. There's no names being bandied about for this position or that post or this post. There's nothing. So how can Democrats be obstructing him when he has nothing there to obstruct, if you know what I'm talking about? But basically what I said, he's lying. He's totally lying. And his base is swallowing it up. This is why he's saying it. He's trying to keep his base. His base wants to hear stuff like that, even if they know it's a bunch of bull. Even if they know it's a bunch of bull. So this is George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 6 more minutes into the show, and I probably can do this thing all. I probably can talk all night long, and do this thing all night long. But I'm not going to do it because I got bills of my own to pay. So, but this is going to be interesting, folks. I can't wait to see what Comey is going to say. He's talking now, from my understanding, and saying that Trump did try to influence him to stop the probe, to stop the investigation, and he wouldn't do it, so Trump dumped him. We all felt that was the motive behind his firing. We all felt that, you know. And Trump went out there incriminating himself. Yeah, I fired him, and I'll fire him again because he didn't do what I told him to do. Trump is just, Trump is his own worst enemy. He is his own worst enemy, and I have never seen anything like this in my entire life since I've been on this face of the earth. I've lived through a lot of presidents, folks, but this takes the cake. This is some weird stuff, and it's not funny. It's not humorous. It's not something that you can actually feel good about, because this is America. This affects every American in a negative way. This affects our country in a negative way. Now, of course, a lot of us feel that he was overseas for 9 days and all he did was embarrass the country. But to the Republicans and his base, he scored an A. And that's a damn lie. You know, that's a lie. He went over there and he embarrassed the country. He embarrassed us in London, criticizing the mayor 2 or 3 times for the London's attack. He has no right to criticize this man. He has no right, but he thinks he has. Donald Trump, I'll tell you about Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to, he wants to rule the world. This guy, and it's not a joke. He wants to rule the damn world. And it's not going to happen. He wants to be king of the world. He wants to, when he opens his mouth and says, do something, he wants you to do it with no back talk. You know, I just don't understand this. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. And we just got to make some changes, folks. We got to make some changes. Come 2018, we have to make some changes. Throw these Republicans out and put some Democrats in.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who's a crawl.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is just about off the air. I want to thank everybody for listening, tuning in, and chiming in on your thoughts, your opinions, and just sitting back and just enjoying the show. And it'll be here whenever you want to podcast it. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.